This has been another fun-filled excursion on Gary's Drive Time Desires, the show that gets you up in the morning.
Welcome to the Crypt Keeper's Coffin, a Tales from the Crypt retrospective brought to you by Bat and Spider. Episode 78, In the Groove. What are you wearing?
I don't wear clothes, actually. I don't wear anything.
Ooh, wow, that's hot. Dale, you must be a nasty little monkey. Is that what you are?
I guess that's what I am, Chuck.
Ooh.
Because I listen to your radio show.
Ah, can you believe they would put this on the radio, Dale? Who wants to listen to two people in their 40s have sexy talk at 6 a.m.? Okay, I hate the sexy voice. It's over.
Okay, yeah, that's it. It's over.
We can dip back in
if it calls for us.
Dale, welcome back.
That was my biggest sticking point. Lancaster, PA. I don't know anything about Lancaster, California.
Yeah.
Beast Coast over here.
Beast Coast situation.
But Lancaster, PA is like, yeah, that could...
Totally could
that
fit
could
there.
Be a small-time radio station, yeah.
Yeah, maybe he got fired from the Philly station. He had to go 50 miles west, right?
Yeah.
Old Lancaster.
Head for the hills.
Yeah. Or no, it's even more west than York, right?
It's like northwest of Philadelphia.
They're like little twin cities, those two, York and Lancaster.
It's adorable.
I broke down in Lancaster once when I was like 17 or 18. Nightmare. I think the first time my car broke down, I was sweating boy on a hill right in the town square. I don't know what to do. All my friends in the car who also didn't know what to do.
Right. You pop the hood just in case there's a sign that says, this is what you need to do.
Dale. Well, it's good to be back. We're here to talk about In the Groove. This one... Yeah. It's about a shock jock who gets bamboozled into attempting murder on his own very own sister, and his punishment for that is death.
That's exact.
I hope you're ready to talk about radio station politics and the type of show that Gary was putting on for Gary's Drive Time Desires.
Boy.
Was this based on a real thing? Have you ever heard of a show that was like based around like the disc jockey taking calls to do like phone sex with them?
Oh my God. Never. I mean, no. only if you were like one of the 100 people in the United States that managed to subscribe to Playboy TV. I don't, you know, maybe they had a show like that on there, but straight FM radio? No, this is, I have no idea what data they're mining, what idea they try to come up with. He could have been a shock jock of any kind, but Gary Grover tries to have phone sex.
Yeah. But the thing that like it's already like an uncomfortable idea for a show, but for me, the bridge too far was it being in the morning drive time slot. Like, if it went on at like 1 a.m., I'd be like, okay, I understand why, you know, okay, the freaks are up, you know, they're the horny freaks.
Yeah.
They're up, yeah, sitting in their beds, eyes wide open, you know, they're going to put on Gary. But man, but who's driving to work listening to this? That's what I want to know.
I know, right? They're just like drinking their
just sitting coffee. In traffic on the interstate, drinking your coffee, your Folgers, crystals, listening to Gary talk about G-strings.
And it's, and you know, 95% of the audience is men praying to God a woman calls them. So everybody's just stone-faced. They're just waiting for somebody.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Gary Grover, one-trick pony. This was his thing. I mean, this guy was 40, 44 years old, minimum.
What was he like? And this show, I mean, it was on, like, what, 5 days a week, probably? Man.
Yeah. Yeah, 5 days a week.
No, I don't think he even played tunes. There were no, like, you know, it wasn't, like, half tunes, half his sexy show. It was all talk. Man.
Yeah. It was... It's just too much.
It's too much.
Right?
I guess they were just like, we need to come up with, like, what would a real, you know, this is the 90s, guys. What's the next step after Howard? You know, and this is what they came up with.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But yeah, so as we dig a little deeper, Gary, it doesn't only work for the station, but he's sort of a part owner. His mom owned a bunch of stations, and when she died, she willed this station to Gary's sister and him, except what was his deal on it? Like
the will said he was 50% owner, but his sister made all the corporate decisions.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He was just the talent.
Yeah. 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 So like, yeah. Introduce his sister who was great. What's her goddamn it? Wendy Malik. Is that her name?
Wendy Malik. She's wonderful.
She's fantastic. But they're just like at each other's throats every second. You know, she's threatening to fire him because his ratings suck. Mm-hmm. And you can tell Gary had a complicated relationship with his mom.
And, yeah.
And all of a sudden his sister brings in this talented young upstart named Val. You know, this is like the scene in the Lone Wolf Cop movie where Chief gives our main guy a new partner and he's not having it. That's the situation we're in.
Yeah.
The rookie? You're giving me the rookie?
Yeah. Yeah. You're giving me the rookie? I give you 40 years. I'm out there busting my hump. And you're going to give this, you're going to saddle me with this?
Get out of my ass, Chief.
You want a guy or do you want to do it by the book?
I only work one way. I get the guy, don't I?
Right.
You get the picture.
Keep the senator off my back.
Senator?
I got a hunch.
Fucking senators, they have nothing better to do. Then involve themselves in murder investigation.
It's, you know what? And that's the problem with senators in general.
They have too much time on their hands.
They're too busy on the backs of
local police sergeants
because of detectives.
Because all their buddies are caught up in murder schemes.
Trying to scheme their way out of it.
Yeah. Sickening. Yeah, so man, God. I was cringing like through all the radio show segments, Dale. I was cringing. I mean, maybe that says something about me, but
No. Yeah, that you're human.
That I don't know. Am I a Puritan? Am I truly from a white guy from the Northeast?
Are you Amish? You would blush at the thought of Are you an Amish in Lancaster, like blushing when you hear this for the first time on a radio?
Yeah.
Consummate professional, Miguel Farrar.
God, king.
Just, he can do this with a straight face.
Man.
On TV, because boy, I bet you they ran through a list of people
that couldn't
hold it together.
Man.
And you know what? They had to pony up the extra money.
Miguel
to
money.
Get Miguel in there, because he's the only one.
The double M's.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the set, how electric was it when they were seeing the video playback of those shots on Miguel's lips as he talked into the radio mic?
Oh my God.
His freshly shaved skin glistening.
Production staff just agape at what they're looking at on the dailies.
Everyone's shifting in their seats.
Yeah. With their pleated khaki pants just billowing at Miguel's lower half of a face, saying just the horniest things.
I'm listening to you. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, I guess that would make you a nasty little monkey woman, wouldn't it?
I guess so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I can't get over that line.
The pile up on Old Lincoln Highway in Lancaster. You know?
Oh, God. All the truckers just driving into ditches.
Yeah. Man. Unable. Just unable.
But Val gets in there with her fancy new computer system. She's got a keyboard, and she's going to feed lines to Gary to fix the ratings and spice up his show. And God bless it, it works. They're quite a team, Val and Gary.
Yeah, Val gives in to Gary Grover's dream of having a full-time sex talk show on FM radio. And puts up with it and goes along with it, and his female voice to this male voice painting a sexual journey on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And Val is there to let it bloom.
Oh yeah.
For the listeners.
She's like a gardener. Sexual gardener.
Yeah, tending to his voice garden. His voice totally. Plants.
And they get so caught up in it, Dale, that when the show's over, they start getting hot and heavy in that booth, Dale.
My God, yeah.
They start doing some nasty things on that console.
Just like every other console in the business, right? Oh, every console in the business has got to is just probably, next to a heart-shaped bed.
There's so many holes in those consoles for like liquids to seep into. Bad news.
Oh man, yeah.
Like they must have rules about like where you can set your coffee down in radio stations and like recording studios, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's you get those like console workers, engineers coming in.
Yeah.
They're probably that just tell stories.
It's like Hank. Hank coming in there after that show, he probably has to mop the console down.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh. Val, played by Linda Doucette this episode, which is...
I'll tell you what. I'm a Linda fan, Dale. She was great. I thought she was awesome.
Yeah, she was great. She was great. I loved her. I the only thing... She hasn't done much other than Larry Sanders, so to see her do this was just class act by Linda.
Totally. And Slash. We can't forget Slash. I mean, all I got to say is, is there some sort of like... what's that, master's courses or Skillshare we can get Slash on to give acting classes? Because, man, this guy has got it.
Boy, yeah.
Well, what'd you get last quarter?
30 share. What'd you get, mama's boy?
He's delivering those lines like he memorized them, one after another.
Like page one. Page one of the handbook, Chuck. That's what he did. Consummate.
Yeah.
Again.
Total professional. Man.
Good for him.
He really followed up that role in Clint Eastwood's Deadpool with an amazing follow-up. Yeah. Incredible.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, he had to outclass his whole, all of the Guns N' Roses on Deadpool. So this was like a step up, this is getting the call to the big leagues.
Yeah. You're competing with the rest of your band.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the same job.
Yeah.
It could have been any one of those GNFNRs in this episode of Tales from the Crypt, but he did it. Slash did it.
He walked off that boat in that one scene in Deadpool with the rest of that band better than all of his band. Better than Axl Rose, he walked off that boat more convincingly. Incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's thank God for him.
Thank God for Clint. for having an open mind.
What we have is brother and sister clashing just over what should be done on this episode. Val starts to think that maybe sex talk every day a week is just too much for just, you know, it would be like doing an episode of Bat and Spider every day and releasing it.
Oh, God.
We'd be
hitting record with our hands around each other's necks if we were doing this every day.
We'd be in HE double hockey sticks.
Yeah. So Val's like, let's do something else. I'm going to push you to do something else. So she's like live typing while they're on the air.
With her loud cherry brown keyboard.
Loudest keyboard in the world. And all she does is type anger. Let's talk about anger. All of a sudden, Gary starts sounding like an AM radio, you know, conservative talk show host. And I was like, oh boy, where's this going? This sucks.
Yeah. It could have been like one of those fake radio stations in a Grand Theft Auto.
Totally.
You know?
The experience goes well, but it ends with his sister barging in saying he's off the air. Because he has a mommy freak out on the air. She gets him talking about his anger. And then he starts talking about his mommy who left him this radio station, but she's still lording over him and controlling his life from beyond the grave. And he picks up her portrait and smashes it on the radio console.
Yeah.
By the way, I just shipped an oil painting of myself for you to hang above your computer there in your little studio, though, by the way.
I have a spot for it. It is an outside wall.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I know that could be a problem, so we'll see about...
Let's get some brackets or something.
Yeah, right. But yeah, that's how... That's the one thing that you left in your will is to never take that painting down for as long as I do a show in the corner of this room.
Never touch my portrait, please.
Right. So that is to remain, no matter what else is talked about in this room. Yeah.
But yeah, his sister's mad because he broke. That was in the will that he can't badmouth mommy on the air. And he did it. So she's
random.
Yeah. Super random. So she's like, you're not fired. I'm just taking you off the air and keeping your contract so you can't go work somewhere else. This is the last straw.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And he comes up with a great idea to off his sister. So him and Val cook up a little scheme. They pre-record. I got to say, I don't know why they only gave themselves 20 minutes. I mean, I guess they could have had the constraint of they had to run commercials, I guess, after 20 minutes, which they probably should have mentioned, because otherwise it's like, why don't you just give yourself like the full hour or something?
Yeah, seriously. Like, look, you know, we're at 19 minutes and 10 seconds uncut right now, Chuck. Yeah. So we could keep going.
Yeah.
If we had to.
If I had to
go. If we were secretly planning a murder off air.
I mean, that's a lot of stuff. You got to put on your black outfit. You got to get in your car, drive to said location, creep into the house, commit murder. Mm-hmm. And God, I mean, it's not like he's committing murder every day. So he doesn't know how long murder takes. So.
Bold. He's bold.
He's bold. Yeah.
You got to get your buck knife.
Believes in himself, you know.
It's true. I mean, even...
It can take me 2 minutes, I guess. That's the kind of confidence Gary has.
Just look at him. That's why you paid him the money instead of getting some schlub off the street to star in this episode.
Those lips.
God, those
can't buy lips like that.
No.
But his sister's waiting for him, Dale.
Wendy Malick. At it again.
She pops out with a pistol. And Miguel's only got... He brought a knife to a pistol fight. And it's pretty clear, Val was a plant the whole time, and this was Wendy Malick and Val's plan to get him to try and kill her so that she can claim self-defense and shoot him dead.
Jesus Christ.
Incredible. I mean, I can't think of a better way for Gary's Drive Time Desires to die. It's great. Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's no
free
more.
Free and clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just wipe them off.
Yeah. How And, you know, I was thinking for when I first stopped watching the episode, how drastic it was for Val to do this just to be able to get a job at in Lancaster Radio.
Oh, I know.
But you just you just made me realize that this is beyond Val. This is the struggle between a 50% ownership between brother and sister, who are basically saddled with each other, ball and chain, to this radio station, and nobody's going to be able to make progress either way. So one of them had to bow out.
That's a good point, because I had the same thought. I was like, why does Val want this radio station job so badly? But yeah, it makes sense if Wendy Malick was more the string puller here.
Which is pretty great, since, you know, Miguel, it was Miguel's idea at the same time. So there was a breaking point. One of them had to go. This is all the better. Wendy Malick's Lancaster Radio FM.
Once, I want to see a story like this where the person doesn't come up with the murder, you know, the idea to commit murder on their own. And they have to like keep getting more and more specific to push the person to murder, you know?
Yeah, right.
Maybe I'll just TP their house, you know?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, fine. Yeah, I guess we could do that. What are we going to do?
I'm going to put sugar in her gas tank.
Right. Why don't we? What should we do? It's not like we can... Oh, God, I don't know. What am I thinking? Oh, I don't know either. What should we do? I don't know. I'm trying to... What could we suggest to make sure they're not a problem anymore at all?
I wish they could wish her sister could just disappear. I wish she would just stop... like breathing, you know, just right. Yeah. Stop existing. Is that possible? Can you do that?
Well, I don't know what, you know, what suggested this. We got this radio show we got to do.
What are you wearing? All right, Dale. What are we at here? Yeah. Hit me.
Yeah. We've had it.
Yeah. You know what? I like this one. Time. It's hard to watch Miguel Ferrer, you know, even when he's being a total weirdo
yeah,
on the FM radio station and not be enthralled. He's great.
100%. Yeah. It was decent. You know, I saw the twist coming I think we do in almost every episode anyway. So let's just enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Next episode, surprise party. No count, Ray Wells kills his dying father so he can inherit an old ruined farmhouse. Unbeknownst to Ray, said farmhouse has a nightmarish legacy attached to it.
Ooh. Mm.
A haunted house.
Okay.
Something like this.
Interesting.
Oh, Jake Busey stars.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Jake Busey's great.
Directed by Elliot Silverstein.
Has he done anything?
He directed movies in the 60s and 70s. The Car.
Oh.
A Man Called Horse.
Oh, I've seen that.
Baloo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
He's done some big stuff.
Yeah. So we're back. This is actually, we've seen three other episodes of his in Tales from the Crypt as well. So he's a repeat offender. Thank God. So four episodes. I mean, that's Tales from the Crypt Hall of Fame levels of directing.
Yeah. Let's pin his picture up on the Employee of the Month wall for Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
He's earned it.
Yeah, this might be the first time I've noticed a four-episode banger.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man, I bet there's a graph out there that someone's, you know. I wonder who's directed the most episodes. Maybe it's Silverstein.
Oh, man.
I mean, four is a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot. Might find it on someplace like reddit.com/r/coolguides or...
Tales from the Crypt.
Infographs. Something like that.
Something. I'm sure it's out there.
How about Wendy Malick not being Terrence Malick's daughter?
I think is it spelled different? No.
I think
that would be amazing if she was a Terrence's daughter, like in the family business, but a comedic actor.
Mm-hmm.
Totally very, very different. That would be great.
A little bit of trivia on Wendy Malick on IMDb.com. One of her trademarks, smooth, seductive voice. Thank you, IMDb.
Is that, I believe that's also in Miguel Ferrer's.
Yeah, right. ex-niece-in-law of Sydney and Tom Glazer. What?
Huh.
I don't know. See you guys next episode?
Maybe.
That was definitely cool.
Thanks a lot.
I was talking to the chick.
To the groove.